Kirby Anderson is asking you to admit that our country is in a pattern of collapse. And so he's describing why empires fall now on probe.
If you study world history, you recognize that empires come and go. This week, I want to look at what has happened to some of the major empires because we can learn about what is happening today in our country. Most of the week, I'll be quoting from recent books that have documented the decline and fall of empires. Today, I will merely quote from a recent YouTube video that describes a pattern in history that has destroyed three global superpowers in the past 500 years. They are Spain, Britain, and the Soviet Union. Today, the United States is following a similar pattern. In 1590, Spain was the richest empire on earth. Spain's military dominated Europe. Their currency was accepted everywhere. Yet within 80 years, the Spanish government was bankrupt. The Spanish coin that was supposed to be pure silver became 50% copper, then 75% copper. By 1600, the Spanish coin contained barely any silver. Inflation exploded. Spain went on a debt spiral and borrowed constantly. In 1914, Britain ruled the largest empire in human history. Britain controlled 25% of the land surface. The pound sterling was the global reserve currency. Yet within 40 years, the empire was gone. The currency collapsed. Britain had too many military commitments around the world. They won World War I, but at a terrible cost. By 1931, the pound lost 25% of its value overnight. In 1991, the Soviet Union still seemed dominant. It was another superpower. It had nuclear weapons, global influence, and satellites spanning the globe. Yet the Soviet Union ceased to exist 900 days later due to economic implosion. The idea that nations follow a pattern as they collapse isn't new. Decades ago, I did a week of radio programs on the decline of a nation. A decade later, I did another week on when nations die because of a book that was published with that title. What is new is how this video explains the seven stages of collapse and applies them to previous empires. But the key point of the video is the reality that America has already completed five of the seven stages. We aren't approaching the pattern, but we're within it. This week we'll be looking at some of the reasons other empires fell and connected to what is happening in our world today.
You've been listening to Probe with your host, Kirby Anderson. So do we need to admit that we are following this pattern of collapse? Well, get your free copy of Kirby's transcript, Why Empires Fall, at probe.org and share it with somebody. Then join us next time here on Probe.
This week we're discussing why empires fall and how these lessons can apply to our world. Today we're going to look at the book by Victor Davis Hanson, The End of Everything, How Wars Descend into Annihilation. In his book, he provides four historical examples: the city-state of Thebes, ancient Carthage, Byzantine Constantinople, and the Aztec Empire. The leaders believed their illustrious past would be enough to prevent their destruction. Alexander the Great, Roman Scipio, Muslim Mehmet, and Spanish conquistador Cortez proved them wrong. He explains that the leveling of Thebes by Alexander the Great, the erasure of Carthage by Scipio, and the conquest and transformation of Constantinople by Sultan Mehmet, and the obliteration of the Aztecs all marked the end of cultures and civilizations. Alexander, for example, brought an end to classical Greece. The fall of Constantinople marked the end of the Mediterranean world as the nexus of European commerce, and the largest Christian cathedral in the West became the greatest mosque in the Islamic world. The book is a warning to us today, but I also realize that few people will read the book. That is why I also encourage you to watch this 5-minute video summary produced by Hillsdale College. He says his book is about the existential destruction of the losing side in a war. This is very rare in history. It doesn't happen very often. But when it does, it should enlighten us on how it does, why it does, and can it happen again? He explains that he wrote the book not just a historic journey to document the rare cases of a targeted nation being completely destroyed, but as a warning that human nature doesn't change. He reminds us that the same mentalities and delusions that doomed the Thebans, the Carthaginians, the Byzantines, and the Aztecs are still with us today. Even as they were about to be slaughtered, some may still have been thinking, it cannot happen here. He wants us to be aware that what happened in the past could happen in the future. We need to learn from the past and protect ourselves in the future. This is a sobering call for contemporary readers to heed the lessons of obliteration, lest we blunder into catastrophe once again. He reminds us that the world needs a strong America so that we can prevent the end of everything. This week, we're discussing why empires fall and how these lessons may apply to our world. Today, we'll look at the book, Peak Human, written by historian Johan Norberg. His book explains what we can learn from the rise and fall of golden ages. He describes seven of humanity's greatest civilizations, from ancient Athens and the Roman Republic to Renaissance Italy, the Dutch Republic, and today's Anglosphere. Each had their golden age and contributed to our world today. Ancient Greece gave us democracy and the rule of law. From the Muslim world came algebra and modern medicine. The Dutch Republic gave us economic ideas and some of the greatest artistic movements. He explains that he picked these civilizations because each of them exemplifies what can be described as a golden age. Their characteristics are cultural creativity, scientific discoveries, technological achievements, and economic growth. He laments that human history is a long list of deprivations and horrors, but it is also the source of the knowledge, institutions, and technologies that have set most humanity free from such horrors. It requires raw material, but the citizens need to be free to experiment and innovate without being subject to feudal lords, centralized governments, or ravaging armies. In a recent interview with John Stossel, he talks about how Rome inspired our form of government, a republic with a system of checks and balances. There's a reason why we have a Senate and they meet in the Capitol, Norberg explained. We borrow these ideas from the Romans. Of course, these empires fell. The emperors wanted to become popular by handing out free stuff to people. Originally, this started small, but it became popular, so the group that lived on the public's expense grew larger all the time. Eventually, the ever-expanding system of entitlements became too much. Norberg observed, Romans could conquer the world, but they couldn't do entitlement reform. To pay for this, the Roman emperors devalued the currency by putting less gold and silver in each coin. He concluded that inflation was much worse than barbarian invaders. This sounds like our world today. Modern governments, including our own, make more financial promises than they can keep. They have been living in a golden age, but the question before us today is whether it will continue. This week, we're discussing why empires fall and how these lessons can apply to our world. Today, we'll look at an essay by Alan Mashburn, who reminds us that societies that surrender a moral foundation historically self-destruct. This is not a new idea. Decades ago, I did a week of radio programs on the decline of a nation. A decade later, I did another week on when nations die because of a book that was published with that title. And more recently, I've even done a week of programs based on the book that compared America to Rome. The reason for Mashburn's article were several events that took place during Pride Month. He never envisioned a day when transvestites would lecture us on human biology or sterilizers would pose as health professionals advocating for human rights. It seems that our nation has descended into a state of utter madness when men can now claim pregnancy and a number of genders rival the alphabet. Those issues are just a few of the many legitimate concerns which point to the well-documented decline and fall of other civilizations. The Greeks tolerated and even celebrated immoral behavior, and the decline of the Roman Empire can be attributed to the abandonment of strong familial bonds and moral values in favor of weakness and laxity. He observes that the similarity between Rome and America is alarming. Of course, the pattern we recognize in Greece and Rome can be seen in other civilizations in the past. This would include the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Persians, and even the nation of Israel. In Isaiah 5, we read that God pronounced judgment on Israel. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Yes, it is true that nations decline when they lose their moral foundation for society, but it is also a time in which they flourish when they uphold morality and integrity while supporting and encouraging strong families. He warns that unless our country experiences spiritual repentance and undergoes profound reversal of moral values, we risk inviting the same judgment that befell Sodom and Gomorrah. That is why Christians should devote themselves to daily prayers for our nation's survival and moral well-being. The only way to reverse this downward moral spiral is for a spiritual revival and spiritual repentance in this country. This week we are discussing why empires fall and how these lessons can apply to our world. Today we will look at the book by Cal Thomas, America's Expiration Date. He asks, what is America's future? The book came out years ago but has a new preface and is more relevant today. He was on my radio program to talk about the fall of empires and the future of the United States. He begins with an observation by Sir John Glubb, who wrote The Fate of Empires and the Search for Survival. He noticed an interesting historical fact. The average age of a nation or empire's greatness is only about 250 years. Using that ruler, Cal Thomas gives us a history lesson of the Persian Empire, the Roman Empire, the Byzantine Empire, the Arab Empire, the Spanish Empire, the Ottoman Empire, the British Empire, the Russian Empire, and concludes with the United States. Each empire fell for a different reason, but they are lessons for us today. Sometimes they fell because they became too prosperous and thus too apathetic. Sometimes they fell because the empire was overextended. Most had a period of decadence and decline. Persia's decline was due to class struggle. The common people, who are not part of the upper class, began organizing riots and revolts. Kings became greedy and started stealing from the nation's wealth, then sharing the wealth of the people. The social structure collapsed. As we've discussed this week, Rome's fall was gradual. The familiar saying, Rome wasn't built in a day, neither was it destroyed in a day. As the Roman Empire grew, more money needed to be provided to the military. The empire's infrastructure suffered. He does believe that there is still time to resurrect the republic, but the answer can't be found in politicians. Our future doesn't depend on the White House, but instead is dependent on what we do in our house. Cal Thomas ends his book with valuable suggestions. First, set standards of decency and morality for yourself and your family. Reevaluate the education of your children. Don't send them to schools or universities that have largely become propaganda centers for secular progressives. Gather with other believers to worship, celebrate, and encourage one another, and daily obey the call to go and make disciples, often witnessing with words and actions.